I read the release and then I did a little bit of research trying to read up on the issue, and it sounds like there are two pieces of legislation, one that's been signed and one that's still pending, that are relevant here.
Correct. The crowdfunding bill has in fact been signed and is law. It parallels the federal law. The obvious intent is to make it easier for startup businesses to raise capital among the general public. The mini stock exchange bill, if you will, for lack of a better term, is still pending the legislature. Its purpose is to actually provide the liquidity and the vehicle for people to exchange those securities that they've purchased in the process of crowdfunding.
If you were explaining how these transactions work to a five-year-old, how would you break it down for them?
Crowdfunding is a reaction to the fact that many new startup businesses experience difficulty in raising capital. That is, getting people to invest money so that they can buy the equipment and hire the employees and do it what it is they think they should be doing as a startup venture. So it is designed to allow a lot of us to invest a little money and theoretically thus spread the risk pool around, because you have to understand that somewhere between 50 and maybe 80% of new businesses fail within the first 2 or 3 years. And so this is a, no matter how it may be sold, it's going to be a high-risk venture. If you're buying securities in the crowdfunding market, that should be the high-risk portion of your portfolio. To put it quite simply, it should be money you can afford to lose. The mini stock exchange bill, should it pass the legislature, would permit people to start, if you will, online stock exchanges throughout Michigan. Again, they're tied in a sense that you have to be able to buy these securities and then sell them again. And the theory is that the mini stock exchanges would permit the rapid sale and purchase of these securities. Michigan had a stock exchange in Detroit until 1977, so it's not an alien concept, but I have concerns.
So the crowdfunding term comes from the idea, you said, that it's a lot of people and they're investing a smaller amount than they might be.
That's the theory. The Michigan legislation limits an individual's investment to $10,000. But that, I think, is an artificial attempt to ensure that people don't lose their life savings, because if someone is oversold, they'll find a way to buy more than $10,000. Buy $10,000 for you, $10,000 for your spouse, $10,000 for both of your children, ad nauseum. But that's the theory, is that we can all afford to lose $10,000. I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure I can at this point in my life.
It seems trendy to add the word crowd to things right now, and you hear about crowdsourcing, and also crowdfunded projects such as on something like Kickstarter. How is this different than that?
Well, it really isn't. The theory in crowdfunding is pretty universal, and that is, I need capital for my startup business. I think I've got a great idea. You think I've got a great idea, and you're willing to put some of your money into it without the usual formality and protection of the security system.
Could you explain what that formality and what those protections are?
Certainly. Michigan and the federal government, about the same time, back in the 1930s, adopted what are called blue sky laws, security regulation laws, because they were having trouble with people who were selling the blue sky, if you will. They were selling securities that were worthless. They were watering the stock in existing companies. And so we started out with a theory that we would make companies disclose all kinds of information about themselves before you could list and sell a security. Since then, that has morphed into an enforcement function, too. As you know, the SEC is not just a disclosure agency, it's an investigation and prosecution agency. The same thing is true with the Michigan Attorney General's office. They have been aggressive in pursuing stock fraud over the years. The concern I have comes from that, and that is that the crowdfunding bill and the mini stock exchange bill, although laudable, because I work with small startup businesses from time to time, and raising capital is difficult. Banks tend to be perhaps risk-averse and perhaps too risk-averse. But the difficulty is, in both cases, threefold. And that is, first of all, the concern I have about people understanding what they're doing. That is, this is a high-risk field, and you should know what portion of your investment portfolio you can have in high risk without putting yourself at risk. Many people may not see that. The second point is the rate of return on these. That is, we're not sure that every one of these businesses is going to become viable. In fact, we're pretty sure they're not, just if experience as a teacher. So you're going to have people who do not get their money back, and maybe if the venture does reasonably well, may still not get back the rate of return that they anticipated. I would remind you that the Dodge brothers had to sue Henry Ford in order to force him to pay a dividend on their investment. It was the money they got from that lawsuit they started the Dodge Motor Car Company with. So if the company is structured in such a fashion that the first obligation is salaries and the second one is reinvestment, you might not be seeing a dividend or a return on your investment for quite some time, even if there is a successful venture. And the final issue on the, if you will, the civil side of this equation is liquidity. You need to be able to sell something you buy if you're going to make it as an investment, because at some point you may need that money. Obviously, at some point it's your intent that you be able to spend it, hopefully in retirement. Liquidity is an issue. That's partially addressed by the mini stock exchange issue, allowing, if you will, e-exchanges. And by the way, there's a protection built into those. Theoretically, you cannot sell a security you buy in Michigan, and you must be a Michigan resident to buy, and it must be a Michigan business to sell. You can't sell that for 9 months. The problem is, who's going to police that? Which takes me to the next concern, and that is on the criminal side of the house. I spent 6 years as an assistant prosecutor, most of it in white-collar crime, and I have seen what fraudulent schemes do to small and middle-sized investors. I've seen many people wiped out, their life savings taken by fraud through this exact same market, ostensibly as an investment, when in fact it's nothing more than theft. The concern is that without regulation and without aggressive regulation, the potential for that broadens, if you will. So there's a potential for people to move in this market, sell something as a crowdfund idea, when in fact they're selling the blue sky, and then be gone with the money before anybody gets to them. As a matter of fact, the enforcement mechanism we have in Michigan and at the federal level is by and large reactionary. And that's not a criticism, that's just the way it works. Somebody's money gets stolen, we find out about it, we then issue a cease and desist order and proceed to criminal prosecution if that's the route. By then the money's gone. No matter what they do to Bernie Madoff, those people lost their money. So there is that problem, and I'm not alone in this concern. Several folks have said that Michigan does not currently have the mechanism in place, and it would be expensive to build that mechanism to ensure integrity and fair dealing both in crowdfunding and in mini stock exchange activities. So it's not that I'm adverse to raising capital for small business. I'm concerned about the small investor.
So if I invested and then I was ripped off just because I started a lawsuit, filed a complaint, and there was a criminal prosecution, that doesn't mean I would get my money back.
My experience has been, and I think it's pretty universal, the odds of you getting any money back are very small. For two reasons. One, if in fact it's a legitimate investment, but it fails, it's going to fail because it's run out of money and it's not been able to generate income. If it's criminal or fraudulent, that money is going to be spent long before we get to the point of criminal prosecution. And experience tells us that there's almost no recovery in people who are victims of investment fraud.
So what would need to be done to make the crowdfunding plans and the proposed stock exchange, if not secure, at least regulated?
Well, there are two ways to approach it, I think. One would be consumer education. That is, if people truly understand what their risk is and if they're advised properly on the structure of the company they're investing in other words, what sort of plan is there to provide for minority stockholder fairness and equity, that could be done. But then it's pretty close to requiring full disclosure, which is what they're trying to avoid with this mechanism, trying to make it very simple to raise the money. The other mechanism is to simply put in place the, if you will, regulatory capacity to make sure that people are protected and these things are policed. That's going to be very cumbersome and expensive. And again, our experience has been that even if we do put in place a barely adequate regulatory agency, it's going to react rather than be proactive. In fact, one of the criticisms of the federal law that's been in the media is that it's too restrictive and it's too bureaucratic, and so it's probably not going to do what it was designed to do, and that is facilitate crowdfunding. You've got a Hobson's choice, if you will. You can either say, okay, we'll do a very liberal version of crowdfunding and a very liberal version of mini stock exchanges, and we'll just keep our fingers crossed that not too many people lose their life savings. Or you can go to the other extreme and regulate them like we do securities now, and then they don't provide the function that they're designed to provide. So it's a balancing test. I don't have the easy answer because, as I said, I understand the need for the ability to raise capital. I think probably the very thing we're doing right now, you and I talking about this and letting people know that this is not a panacea and that the chance of losing their investment is significant, would be a step in the right direction. If we sell this as a great boon to small business and we don't say, and also it's a very dangerous place to be for a small investor, we're probably setting the stage for disaster. Just an observation, anybody who considers crowdfunding or buying securities on a mini-stock exchange in a highly unregulated market really ought to talk to a professional. That's one of the places you can go. People who invest for a living are very good at saying, let me see the prospectus, let me see what they're proposing to do, what is the liquidity of the investment, what kind of investment are you buying. An example of this is a recent purchase by one of the major tech companies of a startup. In fact, it wasn't even a startup, just an idea concept. And as I understand it, the way that it was structured, the investors get back their money, and the people who started this process become the billionaires. I'm sure the people who invested the money thought they would be along for the rest of the ride if it happened. That depends on how the business, the prospectus is structured, how the organization is structured at the time you buy your securities.
So your concern is that, let's say I'm an investor and I've heard about this new crowdfunding opportunity, this mini stock exchange, if it becomes allowed, and I would like to have some money for retirement, and I think, oh, I like small businesses, I care about them, let me invest my money, and then it turns out it's either a risky investment that fails or someone just takes my money.
Precisely. Both of those are very real possibilities in that type of market. Yes, so you could easily lose much more than you can afford to lose if you're really intrigued by the idea and don't understand the concept of managing your portfolio and limiting your risk to what you can afford to lose. A lot of people have lost their fortunes over the years expecting to make a fortune, and that's very sad. And you're right. The other aspect is simply people who come into the market and say, all right, I'm going to rip off a ton of people what sounds like a great idea, and I'll be gone by the time they figure out what's happened.
Just a couple more questions. I don't want to sound Machiavellian or anything, but are there some people who say, well, it's a free country, people should be able to do whatever they want with their money. If they get ripped off or if they lose all their money, that's too bad?
Well, that's and there are people who are of that school of economics. And I would say to them, if I were satisfied that the equation was always fair, that is, the people selling the securities had something to sell, had a good idea in their mind, were honest people trying to start a new business, then I guess I could be sympathetic to some degree with the theory that you pays your money and you takes your chances. But my concern from experience has been the people on the other side of the equation who are going to lie, cheat, and steal. And that's really the scary aspect of any investment market.
And lastly, I just want to ask, if you were in charge of this, would you want to see it go forward but with the controls, or do you think this just isn't possible to regulate adequately at this point?
I'm not opposed to the concept. I can't be, because as I said, I have advised small businesses. I know that some of the investors that traditionally provide capital, in fact, the vast majority, are risk averse. They don't want to lose money and don't want to take risk. In fact, you see that with the venture capitalists. They'll take the risk, but they want to own the business. Somewhere in between is probably the ideal world, and so I think this is not a per se defective concept that doesn't have merit. I think it does have merit. I'm just concerned that we either do the education piece or the enforcement piece or some combination of the two at a level that maybe 10,000 is too much. When I first read that number, I thought, oh, I would have said less than that. I think the people who wrote the bill wanted to make it possible to raise a lot of money in a rather short order, which is a necessary to get a small startup business going. But by the same token, I'm not so sure that you and I and everybody else can be at $10,000 worth of risk in our portfolio.
Yeah, not really. Is there anything else we haven't covered that you'd like to add?
No, I think you've done an excellent job of walking us through this. And obviously, you've done your homework. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming in.